Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. An Odyssey Station.
Or two. Wave and a miss, and Baltimore shuts out the Sox in this ballpark for the first time since May 13th of 2004. It's a 4-0 final for the Orioles, whose defense was sterling tonight.
That's some of the best outfield defense I've seen in forever, and seeing it in person from our wonderful seats. And I was very lucky, very privileged to have the opportunity to sit in those seats last night. And to see Cedric Mullins track the ball.
Yeah.
And to watch Hayes, to watch those guys make some of the plays that they made. There were hang a star on them plays right and left. Major league players making major league plays.
Great catches, great throws to cut down runners who are being sent. And I know that we don't agree on how bad that was. I just think that the overall issue with the White Sox being thrown out at home is not good. And there's a lot that's not good, Dan. Like, it's yesterday, there was a text from someone who, when I was saying I was breaking down the Orioles, just kind of giving a preview of the Orioles and how they might be a little bit better than what their record says they are, because they're in the American League East, how they had a better run differential than the White Sox coming into it. As a last place team in a division where everyone is above 500, they're at the beginning, or I would say like the secondary stages of a rebuilding in Baltimore, but you can see some of the stuff.
Well, I said in the middle of the game last night that Sox lineup, that Sox team, if you were a scout and you didn't know anything about either team and you just walked into that game and you said, which is the better baseball team? I know it's one night, it's a snapshot, but if you said who's got more talent out there, who excites you more, you could make a case for that Orioles team.
Who's going harder?
If you're buying futures?
Yeah. And so the texter was like, don't worry, it's the Orioles. Now, maybe, but I wanted people to be prepared for what it was that they were going to see. And they saw a team that, at least for now, like through 70 games, is still playing hard. And this has been the Orioles since the beginning of the season. They've been playing hard. They might not have all of the pieces that they need, and their record is reflective of them not being particularly good and being in a bad division or in a great division, but they will play hard, and they did that last night. When I'm watching the White Sox, there's a struggle here, and the struggle is for them thinking, and I'm going to keep coming back to this, that their development is in a vacuum and is not connected to other teams in the American League and other teams that are in the American League Central. I don't know how any team thinks that they're going to be able to win if they are still allowing for there to be three quarters effort by multiple players. I understand.
Sanctioned.
Yes. Dan. Sanctioned.
This isn't necessarily like, well, yeah, this is just how he is. This is, you know, you're going to get this from him. This is actual notes that have been written to hand to the teacher to say, doesn't have to go hard.
And it's up and down their roster. I understand that there are reasons for it. I don't want to act ignorant to that fact. I understand what the overarching goal is. But at some point, the White Sox organizationally have to pivot from we're the odds-on favorite to win the American League Central. Because right now, they aren't. But they have to pivot from that sort of thinking. And I think that that's one of the driving forces with the White Sox this year. Look at the guys. We're going to be careful with Kopech because he's never done this before. And we want to make sure that he's healthy in September, October. That's a reasonable way to look at the development of a player. I get it. When Tim Anderson comes back, well, we don't want Tim to run out ground balls because, you know, he's had some of these things and we want to make sure that he's healthy for September and October. Again, it's a reasonable point of view for the White Sox. How many more guys on that team, though, have that? They've got the doctor's note. They've got the note from the front office of, we don't want you to get hurt. We can't afford for you to get hurt. All reasonable in the cases of Moncada and Robert and Grandal and Engel and Vaughn. But
Abreu.
Think of all the players that we've listed. We're talking about half a roster that is kind of on this plane of, well, we need them for September and October. Meanwhile, in May and in June, you're losing games that might make it harder for you in September or in October.
Well, when you don't have anybody pushing anybody, when the pipeline is so bare that nobody really feels the pressure of this guy might take my job if I'm not at my absolute best, there's a lot of comfort there.
I just don't think you can win like this. I don't think that if the protection angle is what you're doing with your players, I respect it. I truly do. I don't want players to get hurt, but I don't think you can win this way. And they keep kicking the can down the road. 3 weeks ago, and I scoffed at it when it was done, Rick was kept talking about when they're whole. You're not going to be whole. You're just not. There's something that's wrong with the game over the last 3 years. It's making it more difficult for players to stay healthy. And specifically with the White Sox, there's something wrong. Why do so many of your players have leg soreness? Why do so many of your players need that extra that you can't tell them to go 100% because you're afraid they're going to fall apart? And you're afraid they're not only are they going to fall apart right now, you're afraid that they're not going to be available for the imaginary September and October that you're expecting your team to have. Because you've been thinking about it as a fait accompli, that you're the team to beat in the American League Central. And you've only thought that because of the way that your roster is comprised. It's why I keep going back to the Mike Glennon thing. You think it's your time. You think that you have stair-stepped your way to being one of the better teams in the American League, and you haven't taken a look behind you, or now a look in front of you, and see that Minnesota and Cleveland right now are better than you are. And when you watch a team like Baltimore, remember what happened to them on Wednesday, Dan. On Wednesday, they played a game that got shortened by rain. They had two rain delays, the last one being 90 minutes before they called it. They didn't get in here until 3:30 in the morning. And they gave that effort last night. They gave that effort against Johnny Cueto and good at-bats against Johnny Cueto and that effort defensively. And you couldn't match it. Your team, either by direct intervention by the front office and the coaching staff, you can't match that effort. And if you can't match the effort of a team like Baltimore, then what makes you think that you're going to be able to match the effort of a team like Minnesota or Cleveland?
This hour is brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Bank with power at Lakeside Bank. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. I struggle with being fair in calling out effort in baseball because you can't play the game harder. But there are times when you can see around the edges the difference that it makes in between games sometimes. Like, there's all kinds of eyewash on the field. There's all kinds of, oh, look at me going hard, and I'm going hard first to third and all this stuff.
Jim Edmonds.
There's a whole Darren Erstead grindy cloud of dust that you can have, but you know it when you see it. But
Adam Eaton.
What I start to wonder, when we hear Steve Stone decide to dust off the Andrew Jones, Bobby Cox story, we know that story. We've heard that story before, and we're going to have Stone on
at noon.
I saw Steve last night. We had a terrific little conversation, and I'm looking forward to having him on today. But when you start to say and start to see that word of effort, attention, intensity, the questions that I have with a Major League Baseball team, it isn't, what are you showing me diving onto the crushed brick and getting caught in the net and all that? It's, how late are you staying out? When are you coming to bed? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you staying hydrated? Are you getting your proper nutrition?
Are you stretching?
Are you reading every single scouting report that is set on your chair in your locker or that has been downloaded via a team-specific encrypted app to whatever device that you have? Are you reading it? Are you giving every chance that you've got with every hitter that you're going to see in the outfield for your positioning, for everything else? Are you staying around, sitting in the clubhouse, talking to your teammates about stuff? But hey, next time that happens, let's do this, this, and this. Or hey, you know, if you got a second, I want to show you something on video that maybe you want to see in your swing. Is that connective tissue there with this White Sox team? I don't know.
Are you communicating? And I mean that Danny Mendick tears his ACL because there's a collision. Because one of the biggest problems that the White Sox have had defensively this year is they don't know how to talk to each other. And you're adding more people because you have all of these injuries and you have guys out there. Why is that not a bigger fundamental thing that is taught to your team? To communicate when some players are supposed to go for the ball and when they're not. Why in the world, and we can ask Stoney about this at noon, but the two of us were talking about this during a break. If you have a player that doesn't routinely play an outfield position, especially center field, the default setting for where that player is going to be positioned is what?
Deeper.
Right. So that because things don't get over their head.
It is easier to come in on a ball when you limit the downside of your outcomes. Ball dropping in front of you is preferred to ball going over your head and rattling off the wall.
And so, first step is always quicker in front of you as opposed to starting back.
So why in the world would you have Leury García in any situation other than a pitcher hitting, which they don't do anymore, playing shallow? There's no good explanation for it. There's no good explanation for auto sends on two outs when you've clearly misjudged the defenses that you've played against. And last night, you have two excellent outfielders, and you decided that you would run your slowest guy that isn't Jose Abreu and bring him around and just watch the play. Hayes has the ball before you get to third base. Like, it's stuff like that where you see guys that are not just being thrown out on bang-bang plays at home. They're being thrown out four steps before they get to home plate. That's not good. It's something that hasn't been, in my estimation, it hasn't been resolved. There needs to be an actual accountability for Joe McEwing. I hate doing this to a base coach. And I know that we've done this before in Chicago history when it comes to base coaches.
Wavin Wallace.
He's made the worst decisions in baseball this year, sending White Sox players to be thrown out by feet, not by inches, by feet. And all of this stuff, the death by a thousand cuts thing that we were talking about, all of this stuff, it's little things here and there. It's your roster wasn't complete when you started the season. It's you've got injuries, which is legitimate. It's your manager costing you games. It's your coaches costing you games. It's your ace not being an ace and you not being able to figure out why he's not an ace. It's been a month of starts of Lucas Giolito being this bad. A month of starts, Dan, and they don't have an answer for it.
And for everybody crying, it's injuries exacerbating everything. Last night on the White Sox pregame show on NBC Sports Chicago, Chuck Garfine asked Frank Thomas and Gordon Beckham about teams overcoming injuries.
Have you guys ever seen this many injuries on a team? You mentioned the Yankees.
Yes. I've seen it before.
You have seen it before. So
yes,
this is not that
recently
easy.
Has been the Yankees. Last year and a half, just like the White Sox. I mean, all the superstars down at one time, and it was just like musical chairs. Who's next? It was like up and down, they couldn't get together. This year they're healthy. We're running away with baseball. This team is so talented, the Chicago White Sox, but to have this happen, it changes everything. I mean, it's hard to win consistently with all your top players on the IL.
The thing that I cover some of the Braves, and they actually have a lot of injuries too. And so the reason I bring that up is there's a lot of teams that have injuries, and throughout the year, depth is really a big deal. And so when you don't have deep, deep rosters, this stuff kind of comes out because injuries happen so much. They happen more than you think. It's easy to focus on the White Sox, but they do happen everywhere else. Other people are dealing with a lot of injuries, and they're still able to find ways to win. The reason I say that is White Sox still have to find a way to win. You know, they're still wanting to go somewhere. They want to go to the playoffs. They have to find a way. Somebody has to step up. Somebody's going to have to show up and step up and get them there until guys get healthy. So good teams do it. Bad teams, they fall apart. So let's see what the White Sox are made of.
I really appreciate that yesterday,
right,
between Stoney, DJ on the radio, Frank and Gordon, the analysts, the guys that have played the game, are no longer just sitting there and reflexively protecting the players on this team. They are asking hard questions. They're asking questions about effort. And Dan, I think that what you pointed out is really significant. It's not just a guy grinding a bat into sawdust. It is all of the things that go into being a pro. And are you doing your job? Are you doing everything that you can, even at diminished capacity? Even if you aren't physically where you need to be, are you doing every possible thing? And that might mean, you know what? After a home game, I'm going right to treatment and then to bed. It might mean that. It might mean I'm going to show up earlier in the clubhouse to get a better idea of what the scouting report is.
It might mean if I don't have the full advantage of my physical ability, it's my responsibility to make up for that with everything else. My anticipation, my attention, my preparation.
And then you can add in like the actual like on-field effort. But this isn't going to work if at the end of it, there's just, what we'll do is we'll just, everyone take a little bit off of yourself physically so that we can get to the goal. The goal is moving far away, and there is a juncture of games in July where it's Minnesota and Cleveland. Like back-to-back, where it could be over for them if they don't figure some of this stuff out. And I'm disappointed that at this point, organizationally, small steps haven't been taken to make this a better overall outcome.
We mentioned our desire to take phone calls. Well, here it is, 312-644-6767. That's the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. It is your turn, as Lawrence just hit one about 3:30, right down the right side of the fairway, looking probably gap wedge on in from here. So we'll let you take it to the green next on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
This segment's brought to you by PointsBet, and we got some blinking lights here. We've talked enough. It is your turn to do so. Sometimes you got to do what the score does, and that is punch a button. This one will bring us Brendan in Frankfurt on the Bernstein and Holmes show. Hello, Brendan.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
We can.
All right. Good stuff. So, look, I'm a big Sox fan, got a season ticket package, all that stuff. So I wanted to ask you a question, kind of get your view. It's twofold. First of all, Lawrence, thanks for calling out that the Mendick injury was self-inflicted, which it was, right? I was kind of waiting for someone to bring that up. But my question is this. So obviously they are exhibiting kind of a lack of effort, like you were talking about. They also are not a very cerebral or intelligent team, honestly, in my opinion. Do you think those two things are connected, right? And then the second part, and I think it's kind of related, is do you think this also connects to the types of players that the White Sox scout and recruit? Because obviously there's a commonality here. Contrast that with, like, maybe the Cardinals, right? They seem like they scout really well. The free agents like Goldschmidt and Arenado are really smart, well-rounded players. Just want to get your overall, you know, perspective on that.
I think that it could. The other issue, and again, it is a reasonable thing. There's some step jumping that White Sox prospects who are on the major league level have done. They've bought out arbitration years to get guys to the major leagues faster, which I think are smart ideas. That doesn't mean that player development ends. And in a lot of cases, that's what it feels like. That's where you start to look at the manager. I want to keep it a buck with y'all on this. Part of the reason that Tony La Russa is manager of the White Sox is that he's supposed to win in the margin. He's supposed to make your team better. And we've allowed them with the hire to act like he's not, that he's supposed to just be some sort of CEO manager, when he hasn't put together a staff that would allow you to feel that way. Most of the people that are on his staff, like Ethan Katz wasn't a professional, you know, pitching coach. Like there are guys there that aren't the top of the, like if you were putting together a let's prop up our manager staff.
If you were an executive manager, you would have the boots on the ground manager surrogates. Or guardrails against his bad decisions. So they have constructed a staff. Whatever you want to say about the experience of Jerry Nairn or the wherewithal of Miguel Cairo or anybody else, there's nobody there preventing the downside and or providing their own measurable, noticeable, palpable upside.
There are plenty of times that over the last month that White Sox fans during games on Twitter have been like, Giolito's at 70 pitches. You might want to get someone up. Oh, you didn't get someone up? Oh, and they just went Yakutal.
And here's the third time through the order WRC plus against.
Right. Here's the batting average against him the third time through, and it's 450 or close to 500 now. And after we get to 70, 75 pitches, that's data that I imagine, I don't know this for sure, but I imagine that the front office is given to the coaching staff and they haven't done anything with it. This is to go to your Bears thing that we were talking about. In the case of La Russa, because of his own history and his resume, you understand moments where he might feel like he needs to go with his gut. I'm okay with a few of those. But when the manager, throughout the first 68 games of the season, you can point to individual games and you can go, wow, that was an egregious mistake by someone who's not supposed to make that mistake.
Yeah, just being wrong and late. Yeah.
And I keep coming back to, it feels like they hire, and I know that it's Jerry, but everyone at the organization's got to wear this, man. All of you got to wear it. They hired his resume. And the resume can't manage. The guy right now, if he were just manager X, you wouldn't have hired him. And even looking at him making some of the stuff work, he's clearly made some of the individual relationships work. That's not enough.
It's like what I read on Twitter. It's the equivalent of giving the Wright brothers the keys to a modern Boeing 737 and saying, loved your work, fly this.
Good luck. And it hasn't turned out well at all.
Not equipped. But to Brendan's point also, I want to make sure that I address this about pro scouting. Yeah. When you look at some of the deals that they've made and some of the missteps and some of the over-scouting they've done of Craig Kimbrell or Cesar Hernandez or
Yasmani Grandal, maybe.
Josh Harrison.
If you look at some of the things that they value, like he's a great pitch framer. Okay, cool. What else defensively does he do for you? He boxes the ball. He doesn't throw people out consistently. Like there's the trade-offs that they've had to make and the way that they sell the player on you. Think about the way they sold Nick Madrigal to people. And when you're watching him and you're like, mm-mm. Like who scouted that? Who scouted that and told you that was a major league player?
Well, they fired him.
That's not a major league player.
Nope. And can only play one position.
Kind of.
Can only be played at one position, I should say. Tim is in Flossmoor, and he's on Sports Radio 670. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, very good, very good. Yeah, this is Tim. You know what? I have a problem. Like I told the guy who answered the phone, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so, about both of the managers. Of both of the teams. I've been watching the Cubs since I was 9. I'm 61 years old, 65. I even forgot.
Tony, this isn't really a Cubs segment, though. Like, can we get to the White Sox point that you want to make?
That's going to be me in like a week. Just like missing 4 years of my life.
I switched back over to the White Sox because, you know, I was going to change teams. And they go to hire Tony La Russa. He was done. That's where all the mistakes, that's where everything is going wrong. It's Tony La Russa. The game is passing by. That's basically all I have to say. He doesn't care. He's there to get a check.
No, look, thanks, Tim. I think
he's
that Tony.
61, he's 65. Oh, what, maybe
he lost 4 years.
Right now. I don't know.
I think that Tony cares. And I do think that there is some value to him being a part of your organization. I don't think that they are getting the value they thought they were going to get by making him manager. When you look at the way that the White Sox have either faded at the ends of seasons over the last couple of seasons or how they've played in the playoffs, one of those is on Ricky, one of those is on Tony. And now we've seen, just look at the White Sox record since the All-Star break last year. Yeah, Dan, it's been a 500 team.
Are we sure?
Just about 500. Okay. Around, like they are this whole season. Kind of around 500.
Jim in Hoffman Estates, welcome to The Score. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. You're both making a lot of very good points about the Sox and their things they need to improve on. Something I haven't heard any talk on, unless I've missed it, is Tim Anderson getting picked off first base 2 games in a row.
Yes, it's terrible. It's terrible. And the way, and yeah, it was 2 different pickoffs, and one of them is just not being present in the moment. And the other one is you got to KYP. Know who's back there. Know who's over there, who you're dealing with. It's bad. Like, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, it's this incremental stuff of there being a lack of focus. And if each one of these players were to give you just a little bit more, it would, I think, be better. And that's why we're asking the question. That's why we're wondering why we're not seeing the White Sox as a contender be maximized this season. Dan, at the beginning of the show, you said you were talking about numbers, and you were like, pick your number. Pick your number for what you think the White Sox would need to be to win the division. I went with a conservative number, okay? 83.
Of course you did.
To get to 80...
Just randomly.
To get to 83 wins from where the White Sox are right now, they got to go 50-34. You trust them to go 16 over after playing 2 under for this season? Is it possible? Yes. Is there precedent? Yes. Last year's Atlanta team. You could go back to...
That's a much better baseball organization,
though. And remember, they did add. Like, they didn't stand pat. They had... And the White Sox are going to, I think, eventually have to. They're going to have to make some hard decisions when the trade deadline comes up in August.
50-34 to get to the meager total of 83 wins in a season when, whatever the Vegas numbers were, the over-under was well into the 90s. And this was a purported potential World Series champion. You've got to go 50-34 from here on in, starting today.
Starting tonight against the Orioles.
Today, 50-34 to get to 83.
Wild, right? And there's still so many other problems, too. I don't know if Lance Lynn is any good right now. And he's still working back. Lucas Giolito is lost, Dan. He's lost. And they don't have an explanation for why there's no velocity. Go back to his start 2 days ago. His average fastball was 92.3 miles per hour. You ain't getting nobody out with that. They're going to be hitting the ball over the wall all the time. How soon is it before we hear the White Sox say, well, maybe he's in a dead arm period and Lucas ends up going on the IL too?
I can tell you this. You are not going to want to miss Steve Stone coming up at noon.
Agreed.
You are absolutely going to want to make sure you are here to hear what Steve Stone has to say at noon. I'm really looking forward to it. We have High Noon coming up next. I have to take you into your weekend with a pair of remarkable animal stories.
Ooh, and I would like to talk about college football.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
I'm trying my damnedest to avoid the Mitch Rosen pet peeve, although it's kind of on him. I want to thank him for getting me really... I don't ask for much. I'm kind of a... He called me the man who has everything. I really, there's not a lot of things that I want, like for gifts and that kind of thing.
Believe Do you me, want my, me my to talk knows. So that you can eat your
no,
chicken?
No, I got it.
What are we serving tonight? Chicken or chicken?
But if he knows that going over to our friends here at Bockwinkel's and grabbing a hot, perfectly turned poulet rôti, a rotisserie chicken, I don't need much more than that to be happy on a dark day in American history. Well, nice.
Dan's birthday. A dark day.
Seriously, I'm never going to... It's got to be, really? The beginning of the end of our rights and the beginning of a religious autocratic theocracy is happy birthday, Mike. Well, thanks a lot for that. So
you were a harbinger. Your birth was a harbinger.
Oh, God. We have talked Bulls about the draft and Dalen Terry. They got Terry. And he's good. He's fine.
It's fine.
He's really nice. It's all
it's totally
good.
Fine.
All good. Sox not fine.
Not fine.
Really, really not. And there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on with some bigger picture things about how hard they're working.
Yes.
Not just trying, how hard they're working.
Yes, and Texters are right. I would not win Sox math. You're correct.
It's high noon.
We've got a new
videos, by the way, for Sox math lately.
They're a little much.
Little.
I think they're a little much.
Little. Anywho's. All right, you're saying.
No, I totally. It's like
just a little.
Dial it back a little bit.
A little scary.
Yeah.
Kinda. Just there. I would like for there to be a little bit more joy in the Sox math videos, and it to look a little less
weird.
Hostagey.
A little less weird. We have a new record. Burmese python captured in Florida, and it's how they captured it.
I saw this story a couple days ago, and I knew that you were going to do this story
yeah.
at some point.
Because we've been following this forever, because this one, 18 feet long, 215 pounds. I'm going to say that again. 18 feet long and 215 pounds, and they found her by using what they call a scout snake. Are you listening, White Sox?
Does the scout snake sit in the scout seats?
They used radio transmitters implanted in specifically chosen male scout snakes to lead them to breeding aggregations and the largest, most reproductive females.
Oh.
So the scout snakes know what they're looking for. And when they find it, in come the researchers, and they grab the females and their developing eggs out of the wild. They say it's like a magnet. The scout snake was named Dion. and they tracked him to the Western Everglades. They said, we knew he was there for a reason, and the team found him with the largest female we have seen to date. And during the necropsy, they encountered 122 developing eggs. The average clutch is only around 43, and they assessed the digestive contents, and they found the cores of hoofs from an adult white-tailed deer.
Oh.
You don't get to 215 by eating Bockwinkel's chicken.
I mean...
although I'd try.
I wouldn't mind seeing one of those go after the Bockwinkel's chicken. That might be a fun exercise to watch.
They do feed alligators whole chickens, I know. That's just a popular thing to throw at them. The alligators. But this was, we've got a new record, and I will bet you now, with these scout snakes excited to go find Big Mama House, that they are going to have something bigger than 18. I will call it that by next year, they're going to find something bigger than 18 feet that weighs more than 215.
I watched the finale of Kenobi a couple nights ago.
Oh, I heard Twitter was going crazy.
The series itself was hit or miss. Like, I felt like they had really good episodes and episodes that were kind of eh. They hit every single note in the finale. It was really, like, beautiful. Like, some of the way that the storylines concluded. And I will say, two characters that are often have been siloed as just being there in the background, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. Fam, you will gain a much greater appreciation for Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Spoiler alert, doesn't end well. They get a little hot.
Yes, but in
too smoky.
In Kenobi, you'll see them at their, like, full, like, it was, as someone who does not have kids but considers himself the goat of uncles, it hit me like hard.
Really?
Real hard.
Enough that you could start your own moisture farm?
Maybe. But it hit me hard. And the way that they kind of did this whole thing of where I talk about Ted Lasso as a place that's great for apologizing, like what everyone yes. apologizes.
They mean it.
I thought in the finale of Kenobi, the overarching story, I think it was Deborah Chow who did the series, was figuring out ways to forgive yourself. Hmm. And there's some, Ewan McGregor, like there's a moment, like there is a frame of him doing that. And I don't know, like, I don't know if it cleansed the character, but it cleansed me as a fan of the character. Where he hit like a note with just acting with his face. And I was like, you know what? I'm with you. I don't know if people were, because I know there were a lot of people who were doing really awful things to Moses Ingram, who's one of the actors on it.
Hell.
I thought she was phenomenal in the finale. I thought her and McGregor were great. It really stuck the landing. It gave you everything that you possibly wanted. It probably would have been better off as a movie than a series. But they nailed that thing at the end. Shout out to Aunt Beru. For real, for real.
A pair of bald eagles near Nanaimo, British Columbia, have adopted a baby red-tailed hawk and are raising it alongside their own eaglet. But while the hawk is now part of the eagle's family, it could easily have just have been their dinner. Ornithologist David Bird,
that's crazy.
That's an acronym, said this bird likely came from a red-tailed hawk nest that was preyed upon by the adult bald eagles. Webcam footage of their nest on Gabriola Island captured the mama bird dropping the little red-tailed hawk into its nest, likely to be torn apart and eaten. He said, the next thing you know, the little hawk bounces up and starts begging for food right away. That's what saved its life. Pam McCartney, a volunteer with the wildlife organization Growls, was watching a live stream of the nest. When she saw the mom drop the baby hawk, she thought for sure it was a goner. She said, usually when I watch, like David Attenborough and his shows, I can close my eyes or fast forward, but this was live at the time, and I was just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But to her welcome surprise, neither the mother nor the eaglet attacked the little hawk. She just kind of dropped it, and it came alive. And the eaglet was like, "What the heck, Mom? What is this? Why is it moving?" At first, the two baby birds kept to themselves on opposite sides of the nest, and the mother didn't pay much attention to the hawk. But by nightfall, they'd become a real family, with the mother eagle feeding and fussing over both baby birds equally. She said the eaglet's parents had lost one of their two chicks a few weeks ago, and she suspects the new hawk has taken its place.
Oh.
Now, and this, there is precedent for this happening, but here is, if you know anything about these raptors and their behavior, red-tailed hawks are equal opportunity predators. For the most part, if it runs around on four legs and fur, or it flies, a red-tailed hawk will eat it. They'll eat sparrows, they'll eat rabbits, they'll eat foxes.
Possum pfeffer.
The only thing they don't eat, or the only raptor that will eat a skunk is still
Vince Carter,
a great horned owl. Owls will eat skunks, other animals will not. Bald eagles almost exclusively eat fish. You will see videos of very hungry bald eagles maybe going after a duck, a goose, a cat. Sometimes they will, if they're hungry, they will eat non-fish, but their hard preference is fish. So this hawk is going to have to either learn to like fish or learn to diversify its own hunting near whatever lake where most eagles find their food. There's always got to be water for bald eagles because that's what they're going to eat. This hawk may be like, you know, would it kill you to have a chipmunk every once in a while? How about, anybody feel like squirrel tonight? You know, this is...
Mom, this is squirrel tonight.
This is great walleye again. This is really, really good northern, but... I've just got a little taste for some rabbit. So, we'll see if they can diversify a little bit. But it's a cool thing that was done.
Arch Manning, Cooper's son, Peyton and Eli's nephew, has decided that he's going to ply his trade at the University of Texas. Now, as a fan of Alabama, I was hoping that he would make his way to Tuscaloosa, but I always like that these young men get to make up their own mind and figure out what they want. I do wonder, though, there's already a ton of pressure on him because of who he is. And for the most part, as a high schooler, he's lived up to that promise. There's so much pressure that goes with being the quarterback at Texas that's going to bring Texas back. And as Texas is transitioning into going to play in the SEC when they're not quite prepared from a roster standpoint, it wouldn't have been my choice for him. I think that there were better places for him to go, even with like some of the history. Like Bama obviously would have been better. I think Ole Miss would have been better for him, to tell you the truth. But Texas is going to have a rough road back.
Good for him. That shows some serious cojones to want to be that guy.
No doubt. He wants to be the lead dog in Austin, and I give him a lot of credit, and I wish him a lot of luck, even though I was wishing he would come to Tuscaloosa. But good luck with that, bruh.
Steve Stone is ready to go. Keep it here. You have the score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.